This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Front Row on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Sharmila Ganesan. Shareem Amri is a photographer who has recently opened her first solo photography exhibition called Redux. It's a fascinating display of photos of dead insects and plants, tiny skeletons, carcasses, but all of which are surprisingly beautiful and almost otherworldly when you look at the photos. The exhibition is on until the 5th of August at the Print Room in Petaling Jaya, and Shareem is here with me today. How are you, Shareem?
I'm well, thank you. Thank you for having me here today.
So Shareem, tell me, what is Redux?
What is Redux? It is a story of how you can find beauty in the most unexpected places. It's a story of how we need to look twice at what we're so eager to discard, what we're so eager to consider used up. It's just a story of trying to be a bit more thoughtful about the way we see things and the way we use things.
But I suppose from the outside, or rather hearing the concept of it, mm-hmm. it sounds a little bit macabre to look at things that have died and then to photograph them.
Right.
Although having seen the photographs, mm-hmm. I sort of really like, you know, this. Some of them are suspended in ice.
Yes.
Some of them are placed in glass jars and
yes.
bottles, and they're all in silver gelatin print.
Yes.
But that said, the idea itself, how did that first occur to you?
I was actually working on my first joint exhibition and was noodling around with different elements. What I started out with was this idea of wanting to create an image that was serene. I wanted to look at it and feel like I could breathe. So I was working with things like clear plastic film and glass bottles as well. But nothing really came together until the director of the print room where I work, he found a skeleton of a chicha. And he said, maybe you want to try and work with this. And my first reaction was the same as everybody else's. That is so macabre. I mean, what am I going to do with this?
Mm.
But I started playing around with it. And when I combined it with this printing technique that I had learned from a book by this photographer named John Blakemore, where you print really lightly so everything does look so ethereal, I was surprised by the combined effect and how it subverted this idea of, you know, death being unattractive, that there's no aesthetic value to it. And I just kept going with it.
What was the process of shooting these photos? How did you find these items?
Mm-hmm.
How did you stage the shoots?
Everything that I shot, I'm always careful to tell people that I never killed anything in the process of putting this body of work together. So it got to the point where all my friends and my family members knew that if they found anything dead, whether it was a moth or a bug, a bee, instead of just throwing it away, to bring it to me. And I would store them in these containers so that it just reached the point where the studio fridge became like a mini insect mortuary. As the collection grew, I then experimented with glass bottles. Most of them are recycled, old liquor bottles, old jam jars, cough syrup jars, and tried to figure out ways in which I could place these objects in these spaces in a way that they didn't just look like they were dead. I wanted to animate them in a way. So it was really a process of trial and error, figuring out what works with what space. And with the ice, that was actually, I started that for another joint exhibition called Twisted Life. But when we talked about doing this exhibition, we realized that both bodies of work were sort of like yin and yang. They went together, dark and light. So I just expanded both over the last couple of years.
And in terms of the technique,
mm-hmm.
so you use film photography,
yes.
a manual film camera, and then
yes.
you hand develop the photos.
Yes.
What drew you to this?
Well, I've always enjoyed photography as a viewer. When I first picked up the camera about 5 years ago, it was really sort of incidental that it was in a film photography class. It was being run at the studio, the print room, by a friend of mine. And I fell in love with the process. You know, when you shoot film, because you can't just delete your shots like you do with a digital camera, you have to be mindful about every single picture that you take. Otherwise, you're going to waste your shots. And you also have to make creative choices along every step of the process when you're processing your film, when you are hand-printing your images. What kind of film speed do you want to use? What kind of effects do you want to create? So that sense of deliberation that forces you to slow down and consider every step of every process, I enjoyed it. Maybe because I'm a control freak. But yeah, I now look at film photography and I look at it compared to digital photography. There's nothing wrong with digital photography. I know a lot of people who do it. But I just feel that with digital, sometimes because you can take a very disposable approach to the process, you can shoot as many shots as you want and then just chimp your shots, delete what you don't like. Whatever effects you want to achieve in the computer is, you know, you just click a few buttons on the keyboard and you're done. I respect that process, but I enjoy the thoughtfulness that goes into film photography. I think it teaches you to respect the basics of light, of composition, of story, simply because you're forced to think every step of the way.
I mean, it almost sounds like for you and for this exhibition, the process is as much the art itself, because we're kind of talking about like the words that you use to describe mm-hmm. what you shoot
right.
is very similar to the words you use to describe the process.
Yes.
Stillness, deliberation.
Yes.
Thoughtfulness.
Yes.
Is this something that is a part of who you are as a person? Is it something you discovered while working on this?
I think it's come to be a part of who I am, or a part of who I see things, of how I see things. I just feel we're just so rushed in everything that we do. We don't pay attention. We use something once, we throw it away. We our attention spans, I mean, it's the size of, I have the memory of a goldfish these days. And I think it's because of the way we live our lives. And I just wanted to take a breath. I just wanted to slow down. And film photography and working on this exhibition was one way of doing that.
And the idea of the redux, mm-hmm. you know, a reinvention or a rebirth, it seems also appropriate for where you were, because you came to photography later in life.
Yes.
If I may say so, you were 40 when you yes. first became a photographer.
Yes.
Before that, you were a journalist.
I was a reporter for 10 years. And then I, with some former colleagues of mine, we started an editorial agency called Salt Media Group. So I've been in the writing, in the publishing life for most of my professional career.
So what made you take that leap from predominantly writing mm-hmm. to a more visual form of expression?
Right. It's actually not that different, writing and photography. They're both united by a strong sense of narrative. And it was writing for me, it was something I'd always wanted to do since I was a little girl. And it was sort of amazing that I actually was able to make a living out of it. One thing that people don't always tell you is once you make a living out of your passion, it becomes work.
Yes, of
so
course.
So this dream yeah. of wanting to one day sit down and write my own book, it's difficult to achieve, because just the thought of sitting down and writing, it's just work. When photography came along, I realized that it was a different way of telling stories. You work with a visual vocabulary rather than with words. But the other thing that unites the two is it can be a solitary process. When you write, you are alone. When you take photographs, you are alone. Besides that, it's the thinking that's necessary for both processes as well. So I don't really see the two of them being very different.
Are you a full-time photographer now?
No, I'm sort of a glorified hobbyist and a wannabe. I call myself a wannabe photographer. I would not call myself a photographer, not yet. I don't think that I've put in the time. I don't have that kind of experience. It feels very presumptuous.
But what does it feel like to open your first solo exhibition?
Terrifying. Absolutely terrifying. My nerves were shredded in the run-up to the show. It's had a fairly decent response, which is incredible. I mean, the worst thing that can happen to anyone in the creative line is indifference. If no one reacts at all, you really can't expect someone to react in a specific way. But so long as there's some kind of emotional response to the work, that's really all you can ask for.
And what have some of the responses to your work been?
There's been curiosity about film photography, which is great. This is something that the print room has been trying to encourage since it opened, I think, 7-8 years ago. A lot of people enjoy photography as, you know, as viewers, but they don't necessarily understand the process that goes into it, especially film photography. So what we do, besides creating our own bodies of work, is we try to raise awareness of film photography. We don't want it to sound like some elitist form of art. It's not that at all. It's accessible. Everyone who works at the studio, we all come from different professional backgrounds. We have a software engineer. We have a financial planner. No one comes from an artistic background, yet we're all able to do this. We also want to legitimize film photography, I guess. I don't know if that's the right word to use. But because people don't really differentiate between digital and film, we want them to understand and appreciate what the difference is. And also to reach out to people who are interested enough in art to want to buy, to be art buyers, and to let them know that a film photograph is just as much a viable, legitimate, compelling, enduring work of art as an oil painting or a sculpture.
Well, we need to go for a break now.
Okay.
But when we come back, I'd really like to talk more about this idea of photography and art mm-hmm. and how those two can intersect in so many ways.
Okay, sure.
I'm speaking to Shareem Amri, whose photo exhibition called Redux is currently showing at the Print Room in PJ until the 5th of August. We'll be back after a short break. You're listening to Front Row on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Welcome back. This is Front Row on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Sharmila Ganesan. I'm speaking to Shareem Amri, who is showing her debut photography exhibition called Redux until the 5th of August at the Print Room in Petaling Jaya. Now, Shareem, earlier we were talking about how you want to legitimize the idea of film photography mm-hmm. or perhaps reclaim some of what it used to be.
Right.
Where does that fit in terms of viewing photography as an art form rather than something more utilitarian?
Well, I think that photography has been, you know, with the use of smartphones that are coming out with increasingly amazing cameras, it's democratized photography. It's made it so accessible to everyone. And that's fantastic. I think that's great. But when it comes so easily to many, perhaps what also happens as an unintended side effect is that photography then, because everyone thinks they can do it, then they don't necessarily see the value of it. So this is something that, you know, we're trying to address as well, to say that, yes, everyone can take a photograph, but you also need to consider what kind of pictures you're taking, what it is that you're trying to say with the photographs that you're taking. So, yes, there's this idea of trying to reclaim photography, to try to reposition it in the eyes of most people and to let them see it as an art form. It's not just a way of recording your travels and what you've eaten. It's also a way of telling everyone how you see the world.
But is it also more difficult or more challenging now, mm-hmm. given that online you can access any amount of amazing photography?
Yes.
And it's viewed as something that's, like you said, fairly simple to take.
Yes.
So, but also that sense of having to go to a gallery to view mm-hmm. a photograph
right.
doesn't seem as pressing anymore.
No, that's true.
How does that fit into when you do your work?
Mm-hmm. I've been lucky in the sense that what I shoot, what I like to shoot, does seem to resonate with people. And I see other photographers at work in the studio, and I see them make much more courageous creative choices. They'll shoot something, and I instinctively think, God, that's so dark. Would that be something people would want to see? Or is that going to drive, you know, a viewer away? And I think that that's an idea that they recognize as well, but they feel driven to shoot it regardless. They feel that this is something they still need to do. It's a reflection of what's going on in their head. It's a reflection of what they're thinking. And I admire that. I've never had to be in that position, and I do ask myself what I would do if I were in that position. So in that sense, I've personally been very lucky. What I like to shoot seems to resonate with people.
So in that sense, do you think that there is an additional value mm-hmm. to view your photographs in person rather than to view them on a screen?
Most definitely. I think that walking into a space where a body of work has been hung together creates an experience that you're not going to get just by looking at the photographs on a screen. It creates, it's a more immersive experience that I think will provoke people to think a little bit more of what they're looking at and how they feel and why they feel that way. If you're looking at something on a screen, we've grown so used to it that we do it without really mulling over the effects of what we're looking at, you know, unless it's deeply troubling or it's very provocative, you know, but everything else, it just sort of goes by in a blur. So it is important, I think, for people to devote that time, to devote that to have that intention, to be more purposeful about what they want to see, what they want to visually feed their brains.
It's also a sense of being, I mean, for instance, on a screen versus viewing a photograph mm-hmm. of a certain size hung in front of you,
yes.
and then being surrounded by similarly themed objects.
Yes.
I think there's a sense of being in the place
yes.
that you can't capture by seeing those same photos on Instagram.
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
When you look at your work thus far, do you get a sense that you now know what kind of art maker, what kind of photographer you are?
No. Not yet. This is because I'm not able to spend as much time on it as I would like. I still have to pay my bills and do my day job.
Oh, so we
this
all
is
do.
Yeah, we all do. So this is what I can find time for, you know, on the weekends, on off days. So it has been difficult to pull the show together simply because, you know, sometimes you're forced to step away from it because of work commitments. And when you come back, you have to go through the process of getting back into that headspace. And that takes time. So because it's been stop and go, I have found part of the experience frustrating. I'm not sure if I was able to take it as far as I could have if I'd done it full time. At the end of the day, I feel like I've had a glimpse of what I can do. I've had a glimpse of the kind of photography I could perhaps pursue. But yes, yeah, still a long way to go. A long, long way to go.
And of course, a big part of your journey thus far has mm-hmm. actually been the place where you're exhibiting your work now,
yes.
the print room,
yes.
but also where you first picked up photography.
Yes.
What does the print room do and how did they shape your journey?
The print room offers classes. So if you've had absolutely no experience with photography, it will teach you, the studio will teach you how to handle a camera, how to process, how to print. But beyond that, it also offers a community of like-minded people. So we often get together, you know, we socialize together, we encourage each other. And I've spoken to other film photographers outstation. You know, I met this chap from Penang the other day, and he came to see the show, and he said that I asked him how his photography was coming along, and he said, it's been difficult because he works in isolation. And he doesn't have that community that we do. And I don't think that we all anticipated how the studio would play that role for us. We're also lucky that it's run by an accomplished fine art photographer, Paul Gadd. He's also a commercial photographer. So it's been instructive to watch him work when he works on his stuff. Besides, you know, being a slave driver and ordering us around, when he settles down to focus on what he does, it's been enormously instructive to see how he goes about doing it, what drives him, the creative choices that he makes. So having that proximity to, you know, a real artist has also been inspiring.
Does it also help to have this community for someone like yourself who mm-hmm. doesn't come from a photography background, you weren't trained in it,
yes.
and you came in it sort of later?
Yes.
That can be quite intimidating, yeah?
Oh, definitely. Because by the age of 40, you know, you have a lot of baggage. Your insecurities are set pretty much in stone. So to take up something new and challenging like film photography, it does challenge you. It does make you confront what you think your boundaries are. It does make you reconsider what you think you can and cannot do. And I've had my share of, you know, mini panic attacks in the dark room when you think, oh my God, what am I doing? I can't even do the basics. I think it's good to force yourself to challenge yourself. Ultimately, what I find is for a lot of us who do this, we surprise ourselves. I don't mean that in a, you know, like a self-congratulatory manner. Just to be able to do it. You may not do it well the first, second, third, 20th time, but just to be able to do it and know that you're determined to keep going until you get it right, that's a gift, I think. I think people, I think we all, well, I did. Sometimes you just give up too easily.
Do you have now, when you look at the works that are on display, do you have a couple of favorites and why?
Oh, gosh. I guess I do. There's the biggest print. It's called The Scale of All Things. It's enormous. It required, basically rejigging the darkroom space to get it done. Most of my shots are of a single, one bottle with one element and with one creature in it. But this was I put several bottles. It brings several elements together. Yeah. I was trying to see whether I could work with a more crowded tableau without losing that sense of serenity, without losing that sense of ethereal, And I ran into problems. My mojo, my printing mojo, was just sucky that day. It just was not working out. So it took about 12 hours to get that print done. And it was, when you get to that point where you just think, I'm so tired, I don't think I can do this anymore, and I don't understand why I can't do this, you start to doubt yourself, you start to question your ability even to do the most basic things. So learning to step aside, to take a breath, and then to jump right back in until you get it done. I look at that photograph and I sort of see beyond the elements I've put in it. It's really the experience of bringing it to life. That's what I remember. It taught me that, yes, you can do it. And, yeah, it's one of my favorite shots.
That's actually one of my favorite shots from the ones I've seen.
Okay.
It has a very, it feels like things that somehow don't belong together but then do.
Yeah. So that I remember the afternoon I shot that, I was noodling around and trying different combinations. And usually when you shoot a roll of film, if you're shooting 35 mil, you get 36 shots. If you're shooting medium format, it's, 10 to 12 shots. If you can get one shot that you're happy with, that it's technically solid, but ultimately that the story comes through, it bounces right off of you, right at you, then I'm happy. I'm ecstatic. Your heart just lifts and you think, okay, I didn't waste my day. I got one shot.
And what do you hope the viewers take away from Redux?
A couple of things, really. I hope that they are more open to photography as an art form, that they realize that it's worth the time and the effort to just sort of, put your phones down, turn your computers off, come away with me, step into my space and have a look and see how you respond to the work, that it's worth your time. And also perhaps to take away the sense that it's important for us to take a moment, to just take a breath and not be so dismissive of things that we would initially consider ugly or finished.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today, Shareem.
Thank you so much for having me.
I've been speaking to Shareem Amri, whose photo exhibition called Redux is currently showing at the Print Room in PJ until the 5th of August. It's a collection of photos that are very surprising. It photographs what you can basically describe as dead things, but, insects, plants, skeletons, but in some of the most surprising and beautiful ways, definitely worth checking out. For more information, you can visit facebook.com/theprintroomkl. If you missed any part of this interview or any previous Front Row segments, you can download the podcasts on our BFM app. You've been listening to Front Row on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.